My name is Julia, and it is awesome to be able to be with you here this morning. And I'm too close. Come on. It's probably this it doesn't recognize. No. Good morning to those that are joining us online this morning as well. That is super exciting to be able to have that. So if you aren't able to come on a Sunday, you are now able to be to link in with this campus, which is awesome, as well as you have the options of the other ones if you would like to, if you've got plenty of free time on your hands, if you want to see what everyone else is doing. But that is super cool. So good morning to anyone that is joining us this morning. Right. So as we come back as a church to what we feel God is challenging and refining in us, we have been asking the question, what moves you? Has anyone heard that in the last couple of weeks? Does it kind of like feel familiar to anyone? There are so many things that are vying for our time, our attention, our money, our energy, our passion, and many of them are great things. But at the core in our heart, what is driving that? As we choose to follow Jesus and put him at the center of our lives, what does that change? What does that shape and influence, and what flows from that? Because there are many things, right, that we can build our lives on and causes that can stir us. And this is a season for us to seek God, reflect on what is driving and moving us, and check in on that the stuff we are building on and fighting for are the right things and coming out of the right place. You know, as we've been looking at this, one of the things that's been coming up in the last few weeks is the word compassion. Anyone heard it? Yep. Yeah. Oh, good. To be moved by compassion. Carl used the phrase a few weeks ago, compassion that is greater than intimidation. And I want to unpack compassion a little bit this morning with us. So what is compassion and why is it important? Firstly, compassion isn't pity and it isn't empathy. Pity is a feeling of sorrow caused by the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Empathy is the ability to understand and share in the feelings of others and their sufferings or misfortunes. And compassion is concern for the suffering and misfortunes that moves us to a response, that often is moved to a response. You know, this might be a helpful way of illustrating it. A few years ago now, I was heading out of the office down to the supermarket to grab some lunch. And as I was walking past a driveway, I heard, "Help! Help!" And I was looking around and going, "Help! Help!" And as I looked, there was a gentleman who was in a wheelchair. And as he'd been going down his drive, his wheel had gone off the concrete into the dirt and it had tipped the wheelchair over into the garden. And the angle that he was on and the way that it was, he couldn't get leverage to be able to help get himself back up. And so he was calling out for help. Pity would have looked at him and gone, "Oh, I feel bad for him. That must really suck." Empathy, which is important, it is really important, would go over to him, get down beside him, and understand what was going on for him and how it was affecting him, right? Compassion comes from empathy and is the next step and often is what compels us to respond. Once I understood what had happened and what was going on for him, compassion compelled me to help lift this man back up and help get him correctly back into his chair. Now, it's a loose illustration, but I hope it highlights a little bit the difference that compassion is. Compassion compels us to action. There are many examples in the Bible of Jesus having compassion. And as I looked them up, I was surprised how many. And Matthew 9, verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion, for these people have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they may collapse on the way. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Mark 6:34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. And that is just a few of the examples. Compassion led Jesus to bring healing, to meet the physical need of food, and to teach truth that was going to bring freedom in people's lives. Jesus modeled compassion, and it was powerful. It healed people, yeah. It fed people, it freed people. Wow. And then, as the church, Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So it seems like it's an important thing, right? Is anyone else with me? That as the church, we are compassionate. We show compassion. We clothe ourselves with compassion. Because of Jesus, there is a knitting together of our lives, for good or for bad. Look at the person next to you and go, guys, we are in this together. You know, our lives are knitted together for his glory. Husband and wife go, yep. You know, our lives are knitted together for his glory, that we might strengthen and build his church. Compassion compels us to action, to love each other, to show up for each other, to build and move together. The people of God should be recognized for their compassion, both corporately as the church and personally as the church. Families, workplaces, neighbors, when people describe us, do they use the word compassion? Something to think about, right? Is that how they describe us? You know, so as we follow this model of Jesus, how do we continue to cultivate compassion in our lives? You know, many of you will be familiar with the story of the prodigal son. It's a story that Jesus told to illustrate the love of the father. There was a son who, he said, there was a son who came to his father and said, I'm done with all of this. And he asked for his inheritance. And he went off into town and he lived the life that he wanted to. And he made the decisions that he wanted to. And he did the things that he wanted to. And at the end of it, when the money ran out and the people are gone, and he was living with the consequences of his decision, he ended up feeding the pigs. And as he was starving himself, he looked at the food that the pigs were having and went, man, even in the servants in my father's house are better off than this. And so in Luke 15:20, it says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. You know, this is how Jesus tells us what the Father's love is like. Courageous compassion that flows from God. You know, when we have an encounter with the compassion that compelled the Father to reach out for us, it changes us. As I was preparing this, I really felt this is something that God wants us to reflect on. His great compassion towards us, that no matter what has happened, He is looking out and He is running with open arms, filled with compassion. You know, all our sin, every wrong decision we've made, every hurtful thing we've done, every hurtful thing we've said, Jesus has taken that upon Him. God doesn't look and see that. That is upon Jesus. He doesn't look and see that stuff in our lives. The shame that we carry over the decisions that we've made, the things that we so desperately wish we could change. God doesn't look and see our shame because Jesus took that. And so there is no judgment. There is open arms that run towards us with a Father's heart that is filled with compassion. And as I was preparing this, I really felt God's heart. That there are some in this place that your natural fathers never responded to you like that. But that is not what an encounter with a Heavenly Father is like. You know, just as we pause in this moment, I know we do this at the end, but you guys are good, flexible. Can we just close our eyes at the moment? God, if that was your experience, if actually the response from your earthly father wasn't a loving one, if his arms weren't out open and compassionate towards you. And right now, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will just touch your heart. And just reveal personally to you that the Father's heart, that God's heart, been looking out for you, was looking for you in the distance. And when He saw you, when He sees you, there is a great joy that wells up beside of Him. Can you picture yourself right now? I pray that the Holy Spirit is showing it to you. Picture of the Father looking out for you. And of open arms that are running towards you with great joy, with great compassion towards you. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you'll just do a deep healing work. That we're earthly natural fathers in their own pain and brokenness have fallen short and not modeled this well. Holy Spirit, I pray that it will be so real to us, the love of our Heavenly Father, of the grace and compassion and the great love that He has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And because it is out of that place of knowing the deep and great compassion of the Father, that we can show that compassion to others. Here, I think sometimes we can also be like the older brother who was jealous of the compassion that his father had shown to his brother. It was like, how can you do that? How can you show that to him? You know, sometimes can we look at people and go, God, how come you can do that for them? Have you not seen what I've been doing over here? But when we have an encounter with the love of the Father, when we know his compassion towards us, then we can rejoice when he shows that undeserved compassion and favor to others, right? You know, we can pray and ask God to open our eyes to what is around us, asking God to help us notice things he sees and allowing the Holy Spirit to move us to compassion. There's a Harvard psychologist called Chris Gurman who has spent much of his professional life studying compassion, and he talks about that when love meets suffering and remains loving, it's compassion. Because when faced with suffering, our response can turn into fear, can turn into anger, disgust, or an aversion, because we just get overwhelmed. But if we stay loving, we have compassion. You know, to me, that sounds like Jesus' response. Right? When we see the healing, when we see need, when we see pain. When he saw pain, that was his response. You know, when we see need, when we see pain, when we see sadness, when we see injustice, we can respond with compassion. And we can also see a kingdom that is here, but not yet in all its fullness. Do we want to just take a minute? Do you guys need a... Jeremiah, do you guys need a minute over there? We'll keep going? Okay. No. Yeah, we also see a kingdom that is here, but not yet in all its fullness, where our King heals people and feeds people and frees people and loves people deeply. He invites us to play a part in seeing his kingdom outworked. You know, on the first missions short-term team I ever went on, we went to a place, and we'll call it Shulam, because it was a high security risk. And there was immense poverty in this space. And we were doing a lot of prayer walking. It was in amongst an unreached people group where there weren't any believers, there weren't any established churches. And so we were walking the streets, and we were praying for the kingdom of God to come in that space and to touch and meet these people. And there was a lot of poverty, and there was immense need. And as we were walking, we would see many people begging on the streets. And your heart was moved, and there were so many that at times it did feel overwhelming. And we were like, what do we do? How do you respond? What are you supposed to do in those spaces? As we're praying and asking God for his heart for this city and this people and this place and this nation, you know, and you see this need and you're like, what do I do? How do I wrestle with this stuff? But the team encouraged us to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, it is biblical for us to give to those in need. But the need at times was overwhelming, and our little team couldn't meet all of those needs. And so they said, be led by the Holy Spirit on who and when God prompts your heart to meet that need and to give. And I was amazed, as we would be walking in a team, that at different times you would see different members of the team notice different people and be prompted to give. You know, sometimes it was my opportunity where the Holy Spirit showed me someone and prompted my heart to give. And sometimes I'd watch my team members as they go and do the same. You know, it was a powerful lesson. If we look at all the pain and hurt and brokenness in the world, we can be overwhelmed. Does anyone feel the same some days? Our response can be fear, can be anger, disgust, aversion, and be overwhelmed. But if we can stay loving, we can be moved by compassion for a broken world. You know, Jesus isn't asking us to be the savior of the world, to take on people's sin or separation from God, to bring healing and restoration to the deepest parts of their being. Only he can do that. But we can love people and allow compassion to move us to action and point them to Jesus and share with them the truth of who he is. You know, I love what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know, I love that these are really normal circumstances. This week, has anyone fed anyone who was hungry? Given some water to someone who was thirsty? All the parents of toddlers and early childhood teachers are going, "There's a lot of thirsty small children around the world." But you know, these are really, really normal circumstances that Jesus gives us that are opportunities for us to serve him in the way that we serve others. Because we have had an encounter with God, out of that place, we can show that love and compassion to others. We don't need to be intimidated by their response. We're simply responding out of the compassion that Jesus has shown and modeled to us. And so I wonder, what has God placed before you? Who has God placed before you? Maybe even, where is God calling you to go out of your way to show love and compassion to others? We can show people that he sees them because we see them. You know, I was in youth work and I've been in ministry long enough to know that healthy compassion flows out of a place of healthy relationship with Jesus. And team, could you guys come back up? If we're trying to heal ourselves by trying to fix others, it's unhealthy and unsustainable. But as we know what it is to run into the arms of a Father, that changes things. And then, as we go in our day-to-day lives, we can have compassion that moves us to reach out and to share that with others that come across our path. Here, would you stand with me? We're going to go back into a time of worship. And we're going to sing "Build My Life." And I encourage you this morning, sing it as a declaration over your life that you are going to build your life on the foundation of Jesus, on the cornerstone of who Christ is, and that what you build and what flows out of that will show grace and love to compassion and compassion to others, that it will bring him glory. And maybe even it's just spending some more time reflecting on the great love that the Father has for you. You know, hang in that moment, in that picture of his open arms towards you. Don't rush past that place, because everything we do flows out of that. And as we know how to run home into the arms of the Father, we can simply say to others, "Come with me. I know how to take you to the Father. I know the way home. Let me show you." Oh, Lord, right now in this place, God, will you shift us? Will you move us to where you want us to be? Lord, may the revelation of who you are sit deep within us. Lord, and out of the overflow of that, Lord, we will love others. Lord, we are sorry where we have done it in our own strength, where we've been too busy, too rushed, where we've made our own decisions and thought that we knew the best way to do it. Lord, we just come back to the Father. And Lord, we say, and we just ask, God, will you use us for your glory? Lord, will your kingdom come and your will be done? In Jesus' name.